Money FM 89.3, the best of Saturday mornings. Wide World on Money FM 89.3.
Well, our Saturday sit-down conversation today is a combination of Singapore, international, local, polycrisis, government to government, lots of things happening in this. And we are so pleased to welcome into the studio Her Excellency Kara Owen, the British High Commissioner to Singapore. Now, those of you that don't know, a British High Commission is an office that serves a Commonwealth country versus an embassy. And she has a long history with Asia. As a teenager, lived with parents in the Philippines, later had diplomatic postings in Hong Kong, Hanoi, of course, now Singapore. And she will be leaving this post in June. So it is a wonderful chance for us to have a chance to chat with her. And welcome to the studio. So great to have you with us.
Thanks so much. I'm really pleased to be here. Great show so far. I've been loving it.
Thank you.
We do this every week.
We do it. Let me kick this off first, because I know when I've spoken to you before, you made a bit of history as the first female, and I was never quite sure of the title, first female ambassador in Singapore or first across the world for the UK?
No, first British female high commissioner in Singapore.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Beautiful. Now, take us through. You've been here since 2019.
Yeah.
A lot's happened since 2019 around Singapore. Give us your kind of overview of maybe some of the highlights of what you've observed, what you've done, and kind of filling people in as to what the High Commissioner does in Singapore.
Yeah, right. Because sometimes it's hard for people to understand what they do, what do ambassadors do. Many people think we just swan around going to receptions, etc. But actually, what my real role is, and that of my team, I've got an amazing, brilliant team, is to increase the collaboration between countries to jointly problem solve things that are difficult for the world, be it around climate change, be it around pandemic, be it around antimicrobial resistance. And it's about bringing our two systems closer together, encouraging trade and investment, encouraging people-to-people flows. It's been the privilege and joy of my life and career doing this job. It's an extraordinary job, an extraordinary relationship. And we've achieved so much together. It's been great. We've got a whole rack of trade agreements we've signed, a free trade agreement, a digital economy agreement, green economy agreement, us joining CPTPP, us becoming a key partner of ASEAN. And that's all happened in my time here. More British companies here than ever before, higher two-way investment. So it's been a real thrill to do this job.
And all that despite COVID.
Well, that was going to be my question. So you're the right? British High Commissioner to Singapore.
Yeah.
Dream job. I'm sure the greatest job in your lifetime.
Yeah.
You arrive, I believe, middle of 2019.
That's
is that
right,
correct?
Yeah.
Your entire job is diplomacy, meeting people, face-to-face relations. Yeah. You know where I'm going. 6 months later, COVID happens. What happens next? Put us in your shoes. How do you adjust?
Yeah, so it's funny thinking back to it, isn't it? And thinking through what we've been through. So, yes, I'm running around Singapore, loving meeting people, loads more people to meet second or third time, and then slam, COVID. We're all sitting in our apartments, we're all sitting in our houses. That's where we're working. A couple of things, I think. Number one is a really important responsibility of any ambassador or high commissioner anywhere in the world is duty of care for the community. So you have a bunch of things that you're thinking about. How is the British community in Singapore going to navigate through this? Also, Singapore's a hub, so we had lots of British people who were actually trying to get home, coming, say, from Australia or New Zealand, flying through Singapore. The flights were reducing, so we did a bunch of work around that. How do you support British companies to navigate through a very, very different business operating model? And then for me, you've got to completely change. Like you said, being a diplomat is all about people and relationships. And I was only 6 months in, so I did know a bunch of people, but you know, I wasn't as close to them as I would be now. I didn't know them as well. So how do you do that completely differently? How do you start new work? Some people say, gosh, you must have really missed being able to crack on and do stuff. Actually, that wasn't my experience. I think we all transitioned pretty quickly. I remember a key meeting I had with a guy I loved working with called Tan Chong Meng. Remember, he ran PSA until very recently. And he was also head of the Emerging Stronger Task Force, if you remember that. So I reached out to him, you know, from my room in my house to him to say, tell me about this Emerging Stronger Task Force. What can we do together? Where are you aiming to go? And from that, growing some of our best work around digital trade and how the UK and Singapore can jointly be leaders in that area. We're ahead of most countries in our region, so what can we do that? So there were bright spots, but it was less fun. Mm-hmm. You got less joking, less laughing, you know, less serendipitous opportunities coming out.
We're speaking with Her Excellency Kara Owen, the British High Commissioner to Singapore. And in some ways, was the interaction that was prompted by COVID almost better, stronger than it might have been if we hadn't had COVID? Because we were all forced to approach the world in a different way. And whether, like you say, getting closer to the British community here to make sure that they're okay, having to reach out to government in Singapore and probably some of your other fellow ambassadors around town. Was there maybe kind of a, I don't want to use the word benefit, but I'll use the word benefit to that time period? Because you had to think differently. You had to work differently.
Yeah, that's right. And things that we wouldn't have done before, like, you know, doing Teams calls between ministers, for example, that wasn't a common occurrence beforehand. And that's kind of, in a way, it shrunk the world. Now, nobody would ever wish COVID on the world again. But I think one of the things I love about working in Singapore is you think really carefully about how can you go through something tough. Where are the opportunities in this super tough thing? And how do we hardwire that? It was so interesting what's been on this program this morning, talking about different working practices now, things that have opened up around flexibility of work. That may not have happened as quickly if you hadn't have been shown a completely different way of being able to work through COVID. So, you know, you've got to find the advantages and cling on to them.
Did you have a personal mandate when you first arrived here for what you wanted to do with Singapore-UK relations? And how did they change or adapt with COVID, or did they? Did you manage to pursue the goals you had when you first arrived?
Broadly, yes. So obviously you inherit an amazing relationship. We had something like 4,500 British companies already that were operating here. That's a huge number, big investment in each other's economies, good trade flow, and kind of 8,000 Singaporeans a year choose to go to the UK to study. That lays down a really strong foundation of sort of mutual understanding and affinity. And we've got more and more Brit students that are studying here too. But I thought there was way more ambition to be achieved in the relationship on things that we could do together.
In what way? What
particularly
things?
Around the new economy. So I could see that Singapore was really thinking hard about how it was going to pivot and decarbonize its economy. What was its future energy transition going to be like? And we're the G7 economy that has decarbonized more than any other. We have managed to do that, 50% fewer emissions since 1990, while growing our economy by over 70%. We've learned a bunch of stuff. We've got a bunch of technology. I knew that would be really interesting. Our tech sector, you know, a lot of people are surprised, but who do you think are the three countries that have got a $1 trillion tech sector? Many people wouldn't put the UK, but it's US, China. Sorry, Neil, you were just about to guess.
No, I was just saying, well, I guess one is UK. Otherwise,
one is the UK.
Why are you here?
US, China, UK. So there's a bunch of things where, you know, we're looking at the same sectors of the economy. But more than that as well, on defence and security, there is deep trust between the UK and Singapore. We do things that we couldn't do with other countries. And I could see the potential of all of that. And so when I arrived, I was super ambitious. Of course you go, COVID starts and you go, oh, blimey, what's going to happen to all of this mandate, these ideas that I had in my mind?
Yeah.
But on the whole, because my team is amazing, because Team Singapore is amazing, because if you find something that both sides want to do, we can do it super quickly. We negotiated our digital economy agreement in 6 months.
Which is what? What does that look like?
So it's basically making sure that there are no blockages to seizing the advantages of the digital economy. So things like, what do we do about data? Can we trust each other not to insist that data is held in one jurisdiction or another, that we can pass data between the communities? That's absolutely critical to seizing the opportunities of the digital economy. Also, you know, what are we doing together in emerging technology? How are we managing the risks and maximising the benefits? And the two governments are very committed to keep close on all of that. How can we make our policy and regulation as kind of interoperable as possible? That helps companies invest and trade very much.
It's a very interesting neighbourhood in which we live, and people in North America, people in Europe often say, oh, we're going to Asia, as if it's one place, you know, with one government, with one people, with one mindset. How do you navigate, you know, now that you've had the experience of growing up in the Philippines, of being posted in Hong Kong, Hanoi, here, you've had a chance to really start to understand this area that we live in, 670 million people. How do you explain it to people back home when you're trying to help them understand this is not just one monolithic place we live? There's a lot of really interesting but potentially dangerous things happening in the neighborhood.
Yeah. So I think the first thing is you have to try and shrink the miles so that people can truly understand the opportunities in this part of the world. And when you're here, you feel this dynamism. And this is why I'm addicted to this part of the world. You know, you feel the dynamism. And in all the countries that you've mentioned, things are moving. Like when I was in Vietnam, the performance of the Vietnamese government in reducing poverty in its population, phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And the kind of growth of new economy there in Indonesia, in Thailand, in Malaysia, here in Singapore. You talk about the opportunities, but when people first come out, and Singapore is often the first place that people land in Southeast Asia, companies in particular, it's an easy place to do business, it's an easy place to set up. But very, very quickly, I say to them, you've got to understand the diversity and that things are different. You know, you've got different legal systems, you've got different languages, you've got different cultures, and you need to use Singapore as a jumping off point, but you need to get, you know, boots on the ground in those countries to deeply understand them as well as you'll understand Singapore. And it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
Following on from Glenn's point, I remember when you first arrived or was about to arrive, you put out a call on, I think, on social media saying, I'm coming to Singapore, what book should I read, what movie should I watch to learn more about Singapore? What was your perception of Singapore when you first arrived and how has it changed, if it has changed?
Of course, I'd known Singapore a bit through all my years living in Asia and I've visited plenty of times. I have loved sort of updating that knowledge. Some of the things that I've noticed in my time of coming to Singapore is how much effort and time has been put into honouring the history of Singapore. You know, the monuments that you've got and the different bits of history around town, the quality of the museum experience that you get here, absolutely fantastic. So I think I had a broad appreciation, but I have loved unpeeling the layers. People can have a shallow understanding of what they think is going on in Singapore. But when I arrived here, I spent my first 3 months, I said to the team, I want to get right across the country. I want to, as a marker of whether or not I'm succeeding, make sure I spend some time in every constituency across Singapore. And you learn a huge amount.
And there's surprisingly many of them,
right? Yeah. And there's a different flavour, there's a different atmosphere, there's different things going on. I've loved that. It's been a real privilege, actually, to get to know a country so deeply.
We're speaking with Her Excellency Kara Owen, the British High Commissioner to Singapore. If you have any questions, please do reach out on WhatsApp, country code 65885508 93.
And before, we're going to make this a two-part chat. The second part, we'll talk more broadly about the geopolitical legacy and what you hope for your successor. But just focusing on you, what has been your personal achievement, your finest moment, you think, as the first female British High Commissioner to Singapore? And if you can, one or two of the lows as well.
There have been tons of highs. I think one moment, didn't grow up knowing or coming from a background that meant that I was going to end up being an ambassador or High Commissioner. That wasn't where I came from. And of course, there have been a couple of pinch me moments when you're standing there just about to hand over your letter of credentials to the president of a country that is signed by Queen Elizabeth saying, this is the person that is representing my country. Yeah. That is pretty extraordinary. And then if you go back to last September, another pinch me moment, pinch myself that I'm there. I'm sitting in the room with our Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, in Delhi, in India, in the margins of the G20. Prime Minister Lee there as well. And they are both inking, launching this fabulous strategic partnership that I've spent 4 years building, my team and I, the Singapore High Commissioner in London and his team, the two governments together. We've been building towards this moment. And there it is. And that's setting the direction for us for the next decade in a really ambitious way. And knowing is when I talk about my team, actually. That's why I loved what Chun Chun Yeo was saying. And she was talking about leadership and she was talking about how do you engage a team and how do you harness all the creativity of a team. They come up with the ideas. They're the ones that push it forward. And if you want to bring a tear to my eye, it's getting me to reflect on what they've achieved. Oh, I'm doing it now.
Look at this. Oh,
I'm
my gosh.
Up already.
Yeah. We've made her cry. We made a British High Commissioner.
And we
cry.
Haven't even brought up Liverpool, who I know you support.
Don't make me
and
cry.
The season
about
is falling apart.
Okay, quick lightning round before we take a break. Three questions. One, your favorite Singaporean food.
Oh, everyone asks me this. So I think it's the variety, but the thing I love the most is when I bring visitors out and I take them to a hawker centre or something and I say I'm ordering carrot cake and I watch the shock on their face.
Good shot.
All right, second one, your favorite neighbourhood. Do you have a favorite area that you like to go or a site you like to see?
Oh, I love the vibe in Tiong Bahru, but I think something that goes wrong in my week if I don't get it is I walk around Macritchie. Before work on one day every week with a couple of mates. And it's the green, it's the quiet, it's the fact that I see the same folk. That is a massive part of my well-being.
And the monitor lizards that are looking for breakfast. Okay, third one, your favorite terminal at Changi.
You can't say the VIP one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. If I'm at the VIP one, it's normally concerned with having to do an awful lot of work.
So, right.
Oh, I don't know. Do you know, they're all cool. What a great question.
They've just redone Terminal 2, right?
Coming back, slotting in. And my favorite Changi moment was when I landed and the doors opened. And from then until when I was in the car to go home was 9 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, where else can you do that?
Nowhere
That's
else.
Pretty cool.
And I'll just throw a last one in. Glenn gave me a good idea. Sure. Your favorite pop culture moment here, because I know we're going to talk more about Britain and Singapore's soft power later. You've met a lot of footballers, celebrities. What was your favourite pop culture moment being in Singapore? A pinch me moment, if you like.
Yeah, when Coldplay came, they were super kind and they gave us 60 tickets. Nice. I said, look, I'd love to share what you do with some people in Singapore who wouldn't normally have the opportunity. Those tickets are not cheap, right?
Yeah, we know.
And they gave me 60 tickets and my team and I went out and found a bunch of organisations, grassroots organisations in Singapore, and we shared the tickets with them. And afterwards, we invited the people that had been to the concerts, and I don't know if you went, but I came out of that on this kind of high of love and positivity. It was super cool. And then we invited them back to the house. We grandly call it my residence, the British High Commissioner's residence in Eton Hall. And some of them performed a Coldplay song. And we had multi-generations in that group who came back. Some of them were, you know, the people that ran these organisations. Some of them were kids. Oh. And the kids sang. And at the end, we were all jumping up and down, singing the chorus to Viva La Vida all together. You know, whether we were 55, 60 or 12. And I think that's going to be one of my fondest moments.
Saturday morning, sit-down conversation. Special guest, Her Excellency Cara Owen, the British High Commissioner to Singapore, arrived in 2019 and will be leaving this post in June, in just a month and a half or so from now. Welcome back to our second half. So great to have you. We want to focus this part on sort of the look ahead, the look forward, some of the opportunities, the areas to focus on the UK-Singapore relationship, what you might do in the next month or so, and also your successor. When you look at the big relationship, where are the future opportunities?
Yeah. So I think in the green economy and the digital economy, really important for us and tons to do. I think in defence and security as well, we've got a really historic relationship around defence. You know, we've got this really unusual arrangement called the Five Power Defence Arrangements, UK, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Singapore. That's pretty unique in this region. Mm. But beyond that, there's a whole heap of stuff that we can do together around defence and security. And research. Research is really exciting. We, in the UK, have four of the top 10 universities in the world. And if you look between 10 to 20 and 20 to 30, you see tons more UK universities there. Singapore universities are absolutely outstanding. We're talking about how we collaborate more in areas like artificial intelligence, artificial intelligence for health. How do we look at safety of AI? We're also talking about things like future telecoms, quantum computing, all of these things you can only do between highly capable, highly enabled research systems. So there is tons and tons of things for my successor to build on. And also, one of the things I've totally loved is how supportive our business community is. Mm. So I mentioned when I arrived there were 4,500 British companies. There are now over 6,000 British companies that are here in Singapore, represented across all sectors. There are also loads of Brits that are working in other areas in universities or in Singaporean companies, for example. And they are super supportive of what the two governments are doing together. You know, when we're talking about energy transition, our companies are right alongside us saying, these could be some options. We've got this technology. Perhaps we should pilot this thing, which is new, and let's test it together. And I've really, really loved that. So my successor will have an amazing architecture to build on and an amazing community.
From a geopolitical standpoint, I'm a big advocate of soft power, soft cultural power, something that both the UK and I find, and you may agree, that Singapore is tapping into this more now. You've seen with the Taylor Swift, Coldplay concerts. That is something that's always united, I feel, Singapore and the UK, that soft cultural player, shared language, shared musical taste, shared food interests, shared parliament and so on, shared education structure.
Legal traditions.
Legal traditions. Yeah. Is that something that also the two countries can work more on as we go forward?
Oh, yeah, completely.
That's something you do as well, I might add.
Yeah. So, yeah, completely. And I think, you know, because we've got shared experiences, shared references, sometimes, and our civil service services are recognisable to each other. I think that's an amazing gift that I was given when I came here.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes our systems can start conversations halfway through because we've already got a bunch of understanding in place about how things are working. And one of the things I love is whatever problem comes up, whatever new thing we're embarking upon, our civil servants on both sides, one of the first countries they'll think of picking up the phone and saying, how do you manage this? What are you doing about this? What things have you tried? What have you learnt along the way? We do that naturally. Soft power, of course, I mean, football is hugely important. Music, people really
and you've tapped into both here in the last 5 years.
Yeah,
I've
you know, these things land in your
when in Rome, right?
Yeah,
you've got English Premier League, you've got
English
Coldplay.
Premier League, and the thing that I've always thought about when you've got these brilliant stars, these sort of world-class stars that are coming to Singapore is how can you make sure that this doesn't stay the preserve of just a tiny bunch of Singaporeans, you know. How can you, so when we've had Tottenham here, when we've had Liverpool here, we've been working with MPs, said if you've got some kids that might not be able to get to come along to the match, can we do training sessions together?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. I had a brilliant moment with one wee lad. He'd come from, where was he from? Chai Chi, I think. And he was doing a training session with LFC, with Liverpool, my beloved LFC, right? It's a great training session. Everybody got really, really involved. And at the end, I was saying to him, he was about eight, nine, I said, what did you think of that then? How did that go? He said, yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it would have been better if it was Man United. But actually, in a weird quirk of fate, later on, for some reason, I was being shown around a flat, and it was a rental flat in an HDB. And I came across, it just so happened that I went to his home, and in the corner, next to his desk, where he was doing his schoolwork, he had a picture of him with these LFC players. He also had a Man United scarf up there.
Of course. I thought you were going to say he had never been seen again.
No. I'm a bit more forgiving than that.
There you go. There
but
you
it
go.
Is that kind of soft cultural power that I think both nations can really tap into.
Yeah, yeah. There'll be plenty to come. You know, Harry Styles couldn't get off the blocks quick enough, and he was only here for an hour, and Ed Sheeran. We've had a great time, and there'll be more to come.
Singapore is really positioning itself for that, as well as Neil mentioned. And as you look going forward, you know, the soft power is important, but when you talk about environment, when you talk about some of these other great innovations that the British companies are doing, as you see that going forward and passing the baton to your successor, what will be some of the things that you will say to him about, hey, keep an eye on these things, these certain you know, elements? I know you'll do a full debrief and handing over, but what can you tell us about what you will point out as important for him to know?
We're really lucky. We've got commitments that the two governments sit down together very regularly, annually, on a whole range of issues. So it could be, you know, we're in the top three financial, both of us are in the top three financial centres in the world.
Yeah.
So, of course, our regulators sit down and say, what do you see happening? You know, what's happening in blockchain? What do you think about digital currencies? All this kind of thing. We've got another one of those coming up next month or the month after. So we've got a whole range of dialogues. Dialogues, God, that sounds like such a diplomat word, doesn't it? That nobody really understands. But the point is we're sharing our ideas, we're sharing best practice, we're sharing our worries, we're sharing our risks, and that is going to be fantastic. But the stuff we do around technology, how do we make sure that our small as well as our big companies find it easy to land in each other's countries? There is such strong interest from Singapore companies and Singapore investors in the UK. I think that brings enormous strength and vitality to our country. They're invested in life sciences, they're invested in our green economy. And sometimes the reason they're investing is because they're interested in the technology we're developing that they know can have application either in Singapore or more broadly in Southeast Asia or beyond. Mm. So those kind of things, we just need to keep on feeding that. feeding that and making sure that it replicates and replicates.
Mm. Yeah. One of the big challenges, of course, is the South China Sea and what's been happening between China, the Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia. I mean, it's a very volatile area, adding Japan in there as well, of course. What do you see, you know, the Singapore government has had its eyes on that. Everybody wants calm and stability in this region for business, for a variety of very important reasons. What do you see as Britain's role in helping to maintain that stability, that those open dialogues in that specific challenging part of this part of the world?
Yeah, so I think one of the things where Singapore and the UK sees really eye to eye is our commitment and how much we have benefited from having a strong international system, a rules-based international system. Mm. So, you know, whether it be something around how do you manage the seas, you know, Singapore was the father of UNCLOS, which is the United Nations agreement that sets out how nations should manage challenges around who owns what bits of sea. So we would both be really keen to make sure that people properly understand maritime law, how that should be applied, helping share our experience in that area. We're both very strong legal sectors. We've got very strong international public lawyers. How can we share that experience with other countries within the region? I think as well the fact that we're really anchored in. If you look at some of the things that the UK has done over the last few years with respect to Asia, you know, we've agreed dialogue partnership with ASEAN, the first country. Nobody's done that in 25 years. We've done it. That kind of binds us into this region, binds us into stability, peace, growth, development in this region. We have really strong defence collaboration with countries in this region. We've got AUKUS, as you would know about. We are collaborating with Japan and Italy on future defence equipment. All of these things anchor us in as interested parties that can contribute to peace, stability and growth in this part of the world.
Mm. And finally from me, you've got emotional a couple of times today. Singapore clearly means something to you. It's been the posting of a lifetime. What would you say to your successor? What would be your love letter? You're about to pass him this gift of Singapore. What would be your parting shot, your words of wisdom, call it what you like, your love letter to him?
So funny, you've been saying love letter. My team and I have been thinking, so using exactly the same words. I do feel so positive about the relationship in the country. So, number one, he won't need any advice. His name's Nikesh Mehta. He's a fabulous fella. He's going to be a brilliant High Commissioner for the UK, and I'm really proud and delighted to hand over to him. So that'd be the first thing I'd say. But number one, I'd say enjoy. He is so excited, and I know he's going to really, really love it. I think number two, take care of your own physical resilience. This country works hard, right? Mm-hmm. And the ambition within the relationship and all the things that are going on in Singapore in any given week, either that you want to join in on or things that you've created yourself, I find I have to keep really physically fit. So I'd tell him that. I would also say enjoy the openness and the generosity and the quality of conversations and excellence that you find in Singapore. I learn something every day. People in this country, including because it's small and they know that things that happen around them have a massive impact on their country. So you'll find a very high level of awareness of what's happening in the world. That's a super stimulating place to work. Very high quality people, very high quality conversations. I think enjoy the greenery, enjoy the lushness. And then if everything fails and you're running out of conversation, try football or food.
That'll do it.
Well, we are so thankful for you coming in. We certainly hope you'll put in a good word with your successor as well. We'd love to have him come on the show when he's ready to do it. But Her Excellency...
He's got a lot to live up to.
Yeah, he certainly does. He certainly does. Kara Owen, the British High Commissioner of Singapore, thank you so much for so many good years here and for being so warm and welcoming and coming onto the show. And we wish you all the best in your next posting.
I'll still be listening from beyond the shores.
And you can do it on our audio app, which is, aren't you lucky?
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.